Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this privilege to come together to worship thee in spirit and truth, knowing, Father, that you have come in this hour to bring us home, to bring a message down, Lord, your great Shekinah glory, your Logos, to bring it into us, O God, that we might hear and become the same as you are, for as you are, so are we in this world. Help us, Father, as we continue to study the rising of the sun, and help us, O God, as we begin to know more about thee. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Wednesday night we began to look at the rainbow covenant of God, and this morning I'd like to continue on that, and actually we're going to have perhaps three different sermons on it. There's quite a bit of information. From We Would See Jesus, Brother Ramsey, now, how can we see him? Now, that's a good question, because God's invisible. He said the way that we can see him is by his works. Now, he hasn't come in a corporal body yet among us. He's here in a spiritual body. You believe that? A spiritual body called the Holy Spirit. He's here in the form of the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God was a spirit, and all the fountains of goodness and mercy and power and all the good things of love, God was the center of that fountain. And then the Logos that went out of God in the beginning become what we would call a theophany or a supernatural body. God is just not like the air, but he's in a body. Moses seen him pass and said it looked like the back part of a man and so forth. And then that same theophany was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld him, the only begotten of the Father, Christ. Again, from the message of life, he said, let's close our eyes to our imagination for just a few moments and go way back there before there was anything. The great fountain of all eternity was that spirit of love and joy, that spirit of honesty, that spirit of trueness in this perfection. So Brother Branham is going to lay out for us how the becoming of God, and how God become, and how he come into manifestation, come into an ability for man to see him. He said, now, to begin, we see before God made anything that he dwelt alone, period. Now think about that, because, you know, we all know that God existed in an eternity in the past. Billions, trillions, quadzillions of years. Never did begin. And we know there's going to be an eternity in the future. Billions, trillions, quadrillions. It doesn't end. But somewhere along the period of time, God said, let there be. That means that God doesn't have need of you, doesn't have need of I. So it had to be love, because love is living for others. It had to be love that he began to project things. In fact, the Son of God had a beginning. All sons have beginnings. Therefore, God lived for an eternity without the Son of God, without the pre-incarnate Son of God. So we're looking at this great fountain. Brother Brown points to this great fountain, which suggests to us that he contained something. And the something was living, as the terminology fountain would suggest. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God, or Elohim, the self-existent one. So what we find when we begin to read God's Holy Bible is that it tells us in the first few letters that God was alone and in him was life. And as he began to bring forth this life, it went into his son, which is his first offspring. And the word offspring means to spring off from. So we see God, the great fountain of life, began to bring forth his great plan to fulfill himself. And he began this fulfillment by bringing forth his firstborn son, Jesus. We find in John 5:26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Therefore we can see what David meant when he described God as a great fountain of life. In Psalm 36:9 he says, for with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light. In thy light shall we see light. Notice that both David and John saw two main characteristics in God. Both David and John saw, number one, a great fountain of life. And number two, this life was represented in a great light. Now, the first time we see this expression of life, it comes forth with when God said, in Genesis 1 and 3, when God said, let there be light. So what do we see first? We see a little white light that is spoken into existence. And what does the light bring forth? It brings into manifestation that life that was in God, the Father giving birth to His Son. Brother Brad said in a sermon, Questions and Answers, Hebrews part 5, or part 3. In the beginning, God, we'll go back to our Hebrew teaching just for a few moments. God was this great big fountain of seven colors. How many knows that? See? Now, the Logos went out of God, which was God, coming from this great, from this one big fountain into a body in the form of a man, and it made the Logos, which we call theophany. And from a sermon, Question and Answers, he was part two. He said, and so Jesus had a beginning. God had no beginning. See? But the Son was not eternal sonship, but the Son that was with the Father in the beginning was the Logos that went out of God. And it was the theophany of God that went out. The human form that didn't have any eyes like you see, but a better eye. It didn't have ears like you hear, but a far better hearing. See, it was a theophany that all of this rainbow condescended into a theophany. Moses saw it when it passed through the rock like that. He saw the back parts and it looked like a man. So here you have this rainbow. I believe it was a horizontal rainbow. And you had this horizontal rainbow, which was God, condescending, Brother Brown said, into a little white light. Now from the message, attitude, and who is God, Brother Brown said, notice that Brother Brown tells us that this light came forth from God, was a little white light. And so Brother Brown said, it was a white light, like a mystic-like light, like a halo. Now listen to what it says here. And we're taught in the beginning that the Logos, or the Son of God, went out of God. Now, I do not believe in eternal sonship. That's even radical to even mention such a thing, eternal sonship. How could he be an eternal sonship? He had to have a beginning, see? He first was God, Jehovah, and out of him, now let's just picture now as a little drama so that you can get it. Let's see, coming out of space where there's nothing. Let's make it a little white light, like a mystic light, like a halo. And that was the Logos that went out of God in the beginning. That was the Son of God that came out of the bosom of the Father. That was what was in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was God. And then out of God came the Logos, a part of God that went out of God. Now, I want you to understand that Brother Branham refers to God as a great seven-colored fountain like the seven colors of the rainbow. And when that great fountain of life began to bring forth sons, the seven-colored lights of that seven-colored horizontal rainbow formed itself into a theophany that was a white light that went forth from God, because white is the summation of all colors. In 1 Timothy 6 and 16, we read, Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting, Amen. So I'd like to focus our thoughts this morning on this rainbow of light that came forth and condescended into this theophany. For we know that in Him did all fullness dwell. Now from reference.com, we read concerning white light the following. White light consists of the visible light colors in the electromagnetic spectrum. The electromagnetic spectrum consists of waves of different wavelengths. The seven colors that are visible to humans have different wavelengths. Red has the highest wavelength, then orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and finally violet, which has the shortest wavelength. Now notice there are only seven colors that are visible to humans. Yet there are billions of colors that man has not seen. Now they will try to sell you one of those new TVs, and they will say that they have billions of colors, but man is only capable of seeing the seven main colors and then variances of those seven. But the Bible says in John 1:18, No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared it. In John 5:37, And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. Well, what voice did we hear? We heard in this hour the voice of William Branham. But that was the voice of God to us. In that hour, we heard the voice of the Son of God. In 1 John 4 and 12, we read, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So, we haven't seen that. I mean, God, no man has seen God. He's invisible. Right? 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor has ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, this was written after Jesus was on the scene. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart, that's where God deals, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So I guess there is a lot more of God than he has shown to us in his redemptive covenant. And that there may be many more colors than the seven that he chose for us or to use in that contract. Now, when I was in purchasing for 30-some years, I would put together contracts for many different purchases. When I worked for the NCR Corporation in the personal computer division, that's when personal computers were just invented for all you young guys that grew up with them. I would work with the legal department, and we would put together little clauses. And then, depending on the company we're dealing with and what product we're dealing with, if it was software, if it was hardware, whatever, we would put those clauses in together to create this contract. God used seven colors to create his contract with you and I. Those seven colors are like barcodes. All right, you're all familiar with barcodes. We see them in black and white. God's barcodes are in red, yellow, blue, green, etc. Seven colors. So he chose to use these seven colors for his contract with man. But we are not here to speculate, so we're just going to stick with what we have the scripture and the prophet of the hour to say. Now, I think it's very interesting that we're dealing with not only light and colors, but wavelengths of electromagnetism. Because if you will recall our sermon on the DNA of God, we found that our DNA is not only musical, but it is mathematical, and also it is organized in the form of a message. In fact, it's linguistic in nature. Scientists at the Bell Laboratories conducted studies on the mathematical language in the DNA molecule. And what did they find? Its mathematical pattern is identical to that of conversational language. And the article continues, concerning DNA, Charles Saxon states, a structural identity has been discovered between the genetic message of DNA and the written messages of a human language. Charles Saxon, a new design, argued. The article continues, Hubert Yockey explains, there is an identity of structure between DNA and protein and written linguistic messages. Since we know by experience that intelligence produces written messages and no other cause is known, the implication, according to the abductive method, is that intelligence causes a cause produced DNA and protein. The significance of this result lies in the security of it, for it is much stronger than if the structure were merely similar. We are not dealing with anything like a superficial resemblance between DNA and a written text. We are not saying DNA is like a message. Rather, DNA is a message. True design thus returns to biology, general theoretical biology. So not only is the message and the messenger one, but the messenger is actually the expression of the message. And the word, that the code, became flesh and dwelt among us. You understand? Jesus declared, I and my Father are one because my Father indwells me. How can we be one with the Father? Because the glory, John 17, the glory that God gave to his Son, Jesus said, I have given them thy glory, thy doxa, thy opinions that can be written out, values that can be written out, and judgment that can be written out. In other words, it's written into our DNA. We are sons and daughters of God. That's why we don't have a problem with the message. That's why we don't have a problem with God's values. That's why we don't have a problem with his opinions, his judgments. Because that's who we are. Now, to me, that was a great discovery to see the God who gave us our DNA to be so different that no two people are identical in any way, and each has its distinct message written into it that defines who that person is. Well, this morning, we're going to find that God, who is that great seven-colored fountain of life, is also expressed in the electromagnetic band length, as we will show you shortly. And that's why I think it's interesting that man is trying to use everything he can in his toolbox to counteract that electromagnetic balance that God placed in the earth. Now, we've already showed you that white light consists of visible light colors in the electromagnetic spectrum. The electromagnetic spectrum consists of waves of different wavelengths. The seven colors that are visible to humans have different wavelengths. Now, bear with me, because this is kind of like a science class, but it's not really. We're actually talking about God. Now, I'd like to continue with the article. Even though all colors have different wavelengths, they all travel at the same velocity. Now, think about that. One has a shorter wavelength, the other has a longer wavelength, and yet they travel at the same velocity, the speed of light. Due to the difference in wavelengths, every time light enters a medium of different density, the colors bend differently and split to form a rainbow pattern. This process of bending when white light moves from one medium into another is called refraction. For example, when white light traveling through air enters either glass, such as a prism, or water, such as a raindrop, the violet component bends more than the rest of the colors, and red bends the least, thus splitting the light into seven colors of the rainbow. Even though white light can be split into seven colors, only three colors of light are required to combine and give white light. These colors, red, blue, and green, are known as primary colors of light. All other colors can be obtained by combining the primary colors in different proportions. Now, I have a graph for you to see here. This shows the different wavelength in gamma rays, which are shorter. You move into X-rays, which are a little bit longer. And then you move into microwave, which are longer, and radio waves, which are even longer still. We have violet being near the 400 nanometer in wavelength, and red being near 700 in wavelength. There's 300, a variance of 300 nanometers between the different wavelengths. Now, this is just a scientific graph to show you. What I'm trying to talk about here is God. Okay? When that great fountain of light, which has seven colors, that's the spectrum in which man can see. But there are spectrums out here that man cannot see. God has only revealed himself these last 6,000-7,000 years to man as a redeemer and healer. There's seven compound redemptive names that God has revealed himself in. But there could be out here and out here many, many more attributes and characteristics which he hasn't shown us, which we may find in the New Jerusalem. God is God. Paul said, no man has seen nor heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for us that love him. So God is God. He is. Now, our eyes are sensitive to light which lies in a very small region of the electromagnetic spectrum labeled visible light. This visible light corresponds to a wavelength range of 400 to 700 nanometers and color range of violet through red. The human eye is not capable of seeing radiation with wavelengths outside the visible spectrum. The visible colors from shortest to longest wavelengths are violet, blue, green, yellow, orange, and red. Ultraviolet radiation has a short wavelength that the visible violet, shorter wavelength than visible violet light. Infrared radiation has a longer wavelength than visible red light. The white light is a mixture of the colors of the visible spectrum, and black is a total absence of light. Now, Earth's most important energy source is the sun, and sunlight consists of the entire electromagnetic spectrum. Now, what does all this have to do with God in the great fountain of seven colors? Well, Brother Brown said in Hebrews chapter 1, he said, now the diamond, when it comes forth, it's just a big, smooth, round-like piece of glass. There's a blue diamond, a black diamond, emerald, and a clear diamond, and a white diamond. Well, when it does come forth, then when it is made and put into use, there's a part of that diamond has to lose. And it has to lose the chips off of it. You knock little chips, because when it comes in direct light like that, it makes a sparkle. The chip is what makes a sparkle, the way that it's cut. It's cut, it's chipped. And then when it does, it makes a sparkle, and one will go a green light, the other will go a blue light, maybe another an emerald light, and a red light, and different lights go from it like a rainbow color. They call it fire in the diamond. Now each one of those lights represents gifts. So each of those colors, the seven colors, represents the seven gifts. But it's only Christ is the diamond. And he was the one who came and was bruised and was wounded and chipped, that he might reflect himself back as a light to the world. He's that master diamond. Now could you imagine there, even before there was the earth, there was a great light, before there was a star, before there was anything. There's a great fountain going forth of spirit, and out of this fountain came the most pure of love, because there was nothing for it to come from there but love. Now what we call today love today is a perverted love. But just as we get a essence or a little bit of that love in us, it changes our whole opinion. Then out of there come another stream off of this main fountain, the diamond, and it was called righteousness, absolutely righteousness. Now that's the reason we have to have law. That's the reason law has to have judgment. If judgment doesn't follow law, law doesn't do no good. And when judgment was passed by law, which brings death, and there's no one that could pay the penalty but God himself, and he paid the penalty of our death, and he took our sins upon him, that we might be the righteousness of God through him. Now when these great lights went out, or great rays of spirit, love, and peace, that's all there was. There wasn't no suffering, there wasn't no hate, there wasn't no malice. It couldn't come from this fountain. That was Jehovah. That was Jehovah God. And now, as a theologian called it, a theophany went from that, which was called in the spiritual, the Logos that went out of God. It's hard to explain, but it was a part of God. Now, here's what happened. Excuse me, I just get on this. This just gets me right where I love it, see? The Logos and this great fountain of spirit which had no beginning or no end, this great spirit began to form in the creation, and the Logos that went out from it was the Son of God. It was the only visible form that this spirit had. And it was a theophany, which means a body, and the body was like a man. Now we must not confuse God with his Son. John tells us that God is the Word. Some men would tell you that Jesus, the Son of God, is the Word, but that is not entirely accurate, because God is the Word. God is the Logos, and out of this great fountain of Logos, or Word, came forth a little Logos, or Word, which was the expression, and that was the Son. Brother Brown called him the little Jehovah. In fact, from Smyrna in church age, he said, now, if there's only one form of eternal life, and you get it, and we're seeking for it through Jesus Christ, well, that's God's life. Then when that blood cell was broke on the Son of God, and that little Jehovah that was bottled up on the inside of this man called Jesus. And again from Hebrews chapter 1, he said, this great fountain of spirit which had no beginning and no end, this great spirit began to form in the creation, and the Logos that went out from it was the Son of God. It was the only visible form that the spirit had, and it was a theophany, which means a body, and the body was like a man. Now, let's turn to the book of Hebrews and Scripture, Hebrews 1 and 3. God, who at sundry time in diverse manners, he spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, or through the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son. And it should actually be, it's not by, it's in Son. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who being the brightness, notice the brightness of God's glory, that little light that came out, the brightness of God's glory, and the express image of God's person, because all seven lights, or all seven colors, actually make up the one white light. He was the express image, or the outraying, or the etching of God, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they.
For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee, and again I will be like unto him a father, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Now the Amplified Version is a little bit easier to read. It says, in many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth. And in different ways God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophets. But in the last of these days he has spoken to us in the person of his Son, whom he appointed heir and lawful owner of all things, also by and through whom he created the worlds and reaches and the reaches of space and the ages of time. That is, he made, he produced, he built, he operated, and he arranged them in order. He is the sole expression of the glory of God. That's God's opinions, values, and attributes. The light being the outraying of the divine, and he is a perfect imprint and very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power, when he had by offering himself accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, he sat down on the right hand of the divine majesty on high, taking a place and rank by which he himself became as much superior to the angels as the glorious name which he had inherited is different from and more excellent than theirs. For which of the angels did God ever say, You are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son. Therefore, we're looking at the expressed image of God, coming forth in this exact representation. Now remember, in the beginning, God was this great fountain of life, and this life was light. And there were seven colors, red, blue, green, etc., yellow. All right. Now, Jesus was the expressed image, but he came forth as a white light. And you say, now white is different from, no, all the lights together makes the white light. But notice, in the character, in the nature of the Son of God, he expressed the color red, love. For no greater love than a man hath that he lay down his life. For, you see, blue, trueness, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, green, eternal life. Destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. You see, so in the expression, we see the different many colors. We see the different many attributes. Now, where is it going? I'm trying to show you that in you, you are a chip off of the masterpiece. And in that chip, when the light strikes, it manifests the different attributes of God. So we're looking at the express image of God coming forth in his exact representation. And remember, in the beginning, God was this great fountain of life, and this life was light. In John 1:3, we read, in him was life. And where did this life come from? In John 5:26, it tells us, For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. So the life in Jesus came from the Father, who is that great fountain of life. And remember, it was in God a seven-colored fountain, but it all came together in one light, and when those seven colors went forth, it formed one white light. But each color has a different electromagnetic characteristic. But all of those characteristics and attributes came together to form one white light. And yet all seven colors travel at the same time, which is the speed of one, the speed of light. Now, what went forth from God was the life of God, as already saw earlier in John 5:26. And let me just say this. When the electromagnetic frequency leaves your body, you're dead. Your heart produces an electromagnetic charge or frequency, right? That's your life. Hallelujah. This is really deep, and just bear with me because it is very deep. In John 1:4, in him was life, and the life. Look, how else can you be? This flesh can't be immortal. This flesh can't be eternal. It had a beginning, it has an end. But the life that's in us, that electromagnetic pulse that beats your heart, that's your soul. That's who you are. That's your frequency. In him was life, and the life was what? The light of man. Therefore, it was this life that was in him that is the light of man. And we know according to Genesis 1:11, which tells us that every seed will bring forth after its kind or after its nature. This is the law of life. And when we receive a new birth, we receive the law of life in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. From this. That's why when your heart stops beating, your electromagnetic pulse has gone somewhere else. It's gone to that body that God has prepared for us, that's waiting for us. Paul said, when this celestial body be dissolved, there'll be another waiting. John 9:5, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Therefore, when we are, and let's just say, shall have the frequency of life, shall have the wavelength of life. Therefore, when we're born again, we become light beings, and we are called in Scripture children of the light. Now, I was going to show it, I just didn't, but there are several quotes where Brother Branham says, when you're born again, he said, part of the Holy Spirit, about the size of your little fingernail or the size of your button on your shirt, comes into your body. That's your electromagnetic frequency or wavelength from God. It's the life of God. Hallelujah. And it's there with you. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, you are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. In John 12:36, while you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. And when we receive that God life, we receive the very nature, the very attributes and characteristics that are part of that light and life. And we are now expected to live differently than children of darkness. Now listen, Paul says in Ephesians 5:13, he said, what makes manifest is light. So when that light comes in, it manifests you to be a son of the light or a child of the light. Ephesians 5:8. For you were sometimes darkness, see, before the light came. But now are you light in the Lord, so walk as children of light. Luke 16:8. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. In Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. And John also said, if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, it brings us into fellowship with the same one that he is in fellowship with. And also cleanses us from sin, from all darkness. Remember when Moses saw the burning bush, the bush burning, he walked up, that pillar of fire was in the bush, and God was in that pillar of fire. The pillar of fire that's hanging over Brother Branham, that's not God. That's the Shekinah presence, showing us the presence of God. He's in the light. And So we want to know more about this great light that brings fellowship and cleanses us. In fact, I had the scripture, I took it out, but there's a scripture where in the Old Testament it says God dwelleth in the light. All right. In 1 John 2:9, he that saith that he is in the light, and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Notice, no occasion of stumbling if you've got light. Shut the lights off and you stumble. You stumble. Now, one attribute we can say is that light gives us direction. It gives us guidance. That's why out in the foyer there I have a little night light. Because many times I come out of here at 2 in the morning, I shut the light off. There's no lights on in the church. And I've got to walk very gingerly until I get right about to the middle. Then I can see the light, and I can walk straight toward the light. You see? Yeah. So light gives us direction and guidance. In Philippians 2:15, we read, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Why? Because you're a chip off that diamond. You're part of that masterpiece. In John 12:35, then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Now that's very plain. Turn off all the lights and you don't know if you're coming or going. You don't know where you're going. You've got to have light for direction. That's why the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. You see? And if light brings us direction and guidance, then a lack of it will bring us into darkness. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, we read, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Notice, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Give them direction. John 11 and 10. But if a man walk in the light, walketh in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. All right, so Brother Branham said from Revelation chapter 4, he said, Jesus, God's accepted covenant surrounding the heavens, and around him was a rainbow, around about the throne in the sight like emerald, an amberish green light around the throne. Praise be to God. Now he's talking about in Ezekiel. How many have seen the picture of Brother Branham at the pulpit? There's seven licks of fire that are coming out from someone. It looks like William Branham, but it's like a theophany or a spirit body is sitting above him, and there's seven licks of fire coming out from him. It looks like almost like a sperm. It's got a body and it's got a long tail. Has anybody seen that picture? I think Steve, you and Patty have seen it years ago. All right. Brother Branham's talking about that. He said, watch this prophet here, 595 years before the coming of Christ. See how his vision compares with John's. A whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud. A fire unfolding itself, and the brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof was the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had a likeness of a man. Notice the color of the Spirit of God which was above. The likeness of these four creatures was amber. And amber is yellowish green. Now watch, yellowish green amber. Oh, and he's the same yesterday. He revealed himself to Ezekiel in the midst of Ezekiel's vision. This light that he saw coming above the four living creatures was yellowish green. When he came to John, he appeared in the emerald, which is yellowish green. He comes now to the revelator in yellowish green. He comes to us in yellowish green. That's that color there. Walk in the light. He is the light. Now, therefore we know that God was a great fountain of life. And as we know, there are many attributes which distinguish the difference between the different forms of light. This particular fountain of life has seven colors, which reflect the seven major attributes of that nature or that life. Now, we've already shown that God is life and he is the light of men. In the beginning, when God brought forth a manifestation in which to dwell and to manifest, he spoke and a light was brought forth to give manifestation to himself. That was Genesis 1 and 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God called the light day. Now remember in verse 14 and 15, then God creates the sun, the moon, the stars. In question and answer on Genesis, Brother Brown said, now notice, then after a while I begin to see a little light, sacred light, begin to form, like a little halo or something. You could only see it by the spiritual eye to look now. While we're looking, the whole church now, we're standing on a great big banister watching what God's doing, and we'll get right down to this question here, and you'll see how that he begins it. Now, no one has seen God. And now the next thing we begin to see by eyes of supernatural looking, we see a little white light forming out there. What is it? Oh, that was what the Bible readers call the Logos, or the anointed, or the anointing. The part of God began to develop into something so human beings could have some type of an idea what it was. It was a little light moving. That was the Word of God. Now God gave himself birth to this Son, which was before there was even an Adam or heir to make an Adam. That was, he said, Jesus said, glorify me, Father, with the glory that we had before the foundations of the world. See, way back yonder. So we call this white light, this other being, his Son. And in this Son dwelt the fullness of God. In other words, the entire seven-colored rainbow spectrum was dwelt in that white light. All the seven colors came together to form the white light. Not another God, but every attribute and characteristic of God came forth into an image, which he called his Son. For in him it pleased the Father to dwell. In Malachi 4:2, we read the Lord is spoken of as the Son of Righteousness. Peter called him the bright and morning star. John called him the day spring. Okay? John called him the light of the world. He also tells us if we walk in this light, as he is in the light, it brings fellowship, healing, and forgiveness of sins. Now, in nature, clouds are formed when the sun shines upon the rivers. Now, think about it. The rivers are water. What does water represent? Peoples, nations, multitudes, and tongues. All right? So, when the sun shines upon the rivers, lakes, oceans, and causes evaporation of the water to go up, like a rapture, as the waters gather together, they form clouds. Paul called it the clouds of witnesses. We have a cloud of witnesses, seven angels represented the wing of God. During their ascent, a purifying process takes place, and that which as many becomes one, as we in also become one in fellowship, the clouds become white as snow. So notice, as they're drawn up in the water, they're without color. They're molecules. But as those separate molecules, different molecules come together, notice they become a white cloud. White representing purity. All right? When the water is evaporated up, it's distilled. Right, Don? That's a purification. All the microbes and everything else are left behind. The washing of water by the Word. When we are drawn to the light, all right, we come as individual droplets. And we're purified in the process of coming to the light. Notice. And when we gather together, we become clouds of witnesses. We become like God. So God in nature, showing what He's got planned for His children. John on the Isle of Patmos, here's a question in Revelation 7 and 13. What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And the answer was, these are they which come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, just as we have clouds that bring storms and others that produce life-giving rain, so it is in the spiritual. Several places in the New Testament we are told that when God returns, He will come in clouds with His angels. And we find that scripture manifested over there. In Mark 13:26, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power, dunamis, miracle working power, and glory, doxa, opinion, values, and judgment. In other words, it will be a word ministry, a message. And it will be a great healing this week. Luke 21:27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory, and a great message. In Matthew 26:64, Jesus said unto them, Thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And in Matthew 24:30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now it's also interesting that the clouds are associated with rain, as we see in Luke 12 and 54. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud arise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And I thought it's interesting because in the evening time, which is in the west, in the evening time, there shall be light. Well, what is shower? He said, when you see the cloud, there cometh a shower. What came forth? The seals. Right? We all see in Luke 9:35, there's a message that came out from the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. In Isaiah 19:1, behold, Yahweh rideth upon a swift cloud. So we find also Deuteronomy 32:1, give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender earth, and as a shower upon the grass. Now remember, when light is cast upon the rain, it must bring forth the colors of the rainbow. And if light is cast upon the doctrine, it will bring forth the different attributes that are in that light. White light encompasses seven colors, and when you see the white light through a raindrop, you'll see seven attributes and characteristics of God. And if the doctrine does not produce that, then it's false rain, or no rain at all. Now earlier we read Brother Branham associated these seven colors with seven gifts of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, etc. And there are seven fruits of the Spirit according to Galatians chapter 5. But the fruits of the Spirit is 1, love, 2, joy, 3, peace, 4, long-suffering, 5, gentleness, 6, goodness, and 7, faith. And the same apostle who spoke of 7 fruits of the Spirit also spoke in terms and tells us where these 7 attributes and characteristics are found. Notice in Ephesians 5:9, he tells us where they're found. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now Paul is telling us here that goodness, righteousness, and truth are the fruits of the fruits of the Spirit are in them. But the fruits of the Spirit will be found in these. He's not saying that these are the fruits of the Spirit. He's saying the fruits of the Spirit will be found in these. Now, notice goodness first. What's that? That's the Father. Jesus said, "Call no man good but the Father." Righteousness. Jesus is the righteousness of God. The right ways of God expressed. And truth. So my spirit is my words are spirit, they're truth. Alright, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Now, Brother Bill Venga from Congo came across a nice quote from Brother Vail a couple days ago where Brother Vail said in his sermon, Question and Answers, 1988, he said, "I'm doing my best to teach what I believe to be correctly identified, saying the same thing as the prophet's revelation. I cannot prove it, but up to date, I've seen it change people's lives, brother, sister, change spirit in the church entirely, and when men have listened to me in the congregation, there's been changes made and radical changes. Now, I'm not saying it couldn't be done to somebody else. I'm just saying that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at fruitage, and I'm seeing it. In other words, God is looking for fruitage, the fruits of the Spirit. And what are they? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, patience. Now, what are they? Red, blue, green, yellow, indigo, and violet. We're going to show you where each of these colors on Wednesday night, each of these colors, what they mean, what they represent. They each represents a characteristic, or as Brother Branham actually said, they represent the motives and the objectives of God. And if the doctrine of the rain does not bring forth fruit, then there is no seed life. And when the light strikes the threefold body, soul, and spirit, if there is no reflection of the 7 colors and attributes of God, then there's no seed life. What are we? We have God's life in us. What is God? He was represented in 7 colors. What are those colors? They're the motives and objectives of God. I'm going to show you what those colors mean Wednesday night and show you how we as a prism or we as a gene seed of God, when the light strikes us, it will produce fruitage. It will produce the red and the blue and the green and the yellow and the orange. It will produce the wavelength of God. It will produce... Oh, hallelujah. There's just so much here. We're looking at not just a bunch of animal. We are looking at supernatural beings of God. Two-thirds of your body, two-thirds of your soul and spirit is totally supernatural. It's just housed in a vessel of clay. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for showing us, Lord, who we are. And we're sons and daughters of God. And we see it, Lord, because there's fruitage. We see the wavelength that expresses the same message, the same mathematics, the same music that was in the DNA of your son Jesus is in the DNA of sons and daughters of God. Be with us, Father, as we leave this building this morning. And may our hearts, Lord, be always looking to Thee, the author and finisher of our faith. For it is You, O God, that worketh in us both to will and to do Your good pleasure. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God is good all the time.